Mrs. Norman?
Fair housing policy.
Morning.
Morning.
As you recall, on March 26th, I came before you to present six different affordable housing strategies that other locations similar to Sussex County are using and that are successful. And after the presentation, I believe Mr. Phillips actually is the one that suggested we look into the anti-NIMBY policy. So that's what I'm bringing before you today to consider. And I've listed, you should have received in your packet, an outline of what some of the updates associated with that policy would look like. And we felt that an expansion of the county's existing fair housing policy, which was approved in December, would be the best place to host these updates. So one of the changes would be to amend the rules and procedures for public hearings of County Council, the Board of Adjustment, and the Planning and Zoning Commission. And what that would do, it would insert the following language. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. And Vince can speak to this maybe a little bit more, but the legal counsel for each of these boards would actually read this prior to the opening of any public hearing as part of some of the other rules that are identified as well. And then we would also, as part of the fair housing policy, expand the protected classes that we cover. We had only included the Federal Fair Housing Act, so we're also including the four additional protected classes that are covered by the Delaware Fair Housing Act. So if there's, does anybody have any questions, or I can read
questions, Ms. Norman?
Good job.
Okay, I can read a motion if that's
okay. You read a motion, please, yes.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve the amended fair housing policy as presented today.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make that.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lank, old business.
Old business.
Old business. Over here.
Pass up some documentation for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
That's why I like summer. I've been waiting for summer all year.
Is this something new you're passing up?
Summarized.
This is something that was requested through the public hearing process, and the record that was adopted in the decision to defer on this first application.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they asked for this then?
Pardon?
They asked for this when they deferred?
We right. asked for it.
No, we did.
The council did.
All right, okay. So, and then we're just getting it now?
Right.
Today?
The commission never took this into consideration, right?
No,
and
did not.
This is well, just,
right. There was, just to highlight that, you know, the commission closed its public hearing and acted on it. And then county council had its hearing, and
right.
then there was different information presented at the county council hearing, and this was presented to council but was not received by the commission prior to acting
right. on
the commission's decision.
This was presented to the council. When?
This is being presented now.
Today, and we vote today?
That's your choice.
I don't have to.
If I may, you have been provided with a copy of the report of the Planning and Zoning Commission's record and their recommendations on three applications for consideration this morning. In reference to the first application being conditional use number 1946, the application of Clean Delaware LLC to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for land application of Class B sanitary waste, non-sanitary food processing residuals, and potable water iron residuals to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 259.08 acres more or less, and lying on both sides of Road 201, also known as Macaulay Road, and north of and across from Road 202, also known as Shockley Road, and being identified at tax map ID 330, map 3, parcel 7, and 330, map 4, parcels 1, 1.01 to 1.04, 1.08 to 1.16, 19 and 21. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application and made recommendations of approval, which are in the text of the report. At the council level, the commission held public hearing on November 15th of 2012 and rendered its decision on January 10th of 2013. Council's public hearing on December 11th of 2012, there was a deferred action. The record was left open for written comments for a period of 60 days, and further that the Director of the Planning and Zoning be directed to contact the Department of Agriculture and the Delmarva poultry industry, asking if they wish to comment on the application. The 60 days record open terminated on February 9 of 2013. On December 14, 2012, I wrote to Ed Key of the Department of Agriculture, being the secretary, and to Bill Satterfield with the Delmarva Poultry Industry Incorporated, requesting them if they wish to respond. And you have before you their responses and some other responses. On February 7th of 2013, I received a letter from Department of Agriculture Secretary Ed Key, and referencing that. In summary, the Delaware Department of Agriculture does not oppose the application of Clean Delaware LLC to apply the material in question if and only if they meet and fulfill their obligations to comply with the DENREC regulations regarding the sludge product in question. That would be the first document. That's for two pages. On January 17th of 2013, I received a letter from Bill Satterfield, Executive Director of the Delmarva Poultry Industry Incorporated, advising that the chairman of the DPI, Delmarva Poultry Industry, Poultry Health Committee, considered the concerns that were raised about the possibility of virus and bacterial transmission to other poultry farms because of the path of the Clean Delaware LLC trucks between the chicken houses on the property. He concluded that the poultry health risks are minimal and no greater than the risk posed by feed delivery trucks and propane delivery trucks, notwithstanding the fact that more Clean Delaware LLC trucks will travel on the farm than other types of trucks. He did not believe the situation.
Was that prior to the recent bird flu that has been in the news? That was before that, yes?
Yeah, this was January
17th. Yeah, okay.
When he responded. He did not believe the situation posed a risk to Delaware chicken industry or nearby chicken growers, that based on conversations with representatives of Clean Delaware LLC, he understands that there are plans to avoid using the between the chicken house lane, is what they refer to it as, to gain access to the property. That if the trucks are diverted further away from the chicken houses, the already very low risk is lessened even more. That was one of the concerns raised about the trucks going in between the poultry houses, bringing debris and from onto other farms.
Thank you.
On February 1st, this is the record still open, we received a letter from Paul G. Townsend, president of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company, stating that the company requires that no biosolid application has taken place for 3 years prior to the planting of vegetable crops on the same land. That they do not restrict contract planting based on the application of biosolids on fields adjacent to those used for their purposes, and that the proposed conditional use is sited on a suitable location for the practice. And then lastly, on February 7th of 2013, we received a letter from James Fuqua Jr., attorney, with letters from Jerry Desmond, general manager of Clean Delaware LLC, dated February 5th of 2013, confirming that the conditions recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission are acceptable to the applicant and that the access road will be relocated away from the existing chicken houses on the site And also a letter from Christopher McCabe of Coastal Compliance Solutions LLC dated February 5th of 2013, commenting on and containing an article from the Journal of Environmental Management and a letter from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency dated January 23rd of 2013. And there was also a letter from Mike Cotton, professional engineer with Cotton Engineering LLC, dated February 6th of 2013, explaining the proposal of a perimeter berm around the farm where it would affect adjacent properties or water bodies.
So, but Mr. Fuqua, he's representing the applicant. Okay. Applicant is saying they accept the conditions put on by the commission.
That was actually a letter from Jerry Desmond, the general manager of Clean Delaware LLC, saying they accept the conditions imposed by the commission.
Okay, I see. All right.
Yes.
And that's Class B, not Class A. It's never been Class A, has it?
No, it's Class B.
Okay.
Right. And in the report I provided this morning, it's copies of those documents. And since you already have a recommendation of the commission, that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions, Mr. Lank?
Refresh my memory, Lawrence. I'm looking at the aerial, and it shows three parcels with Macaulay on it. How many of the parcels?
There's actually more parcels than what it showed Macaulay, because there were several.
All those outlined.
There were.
They're going to be impacted with the spreading of the UCS.
There were nine actual lots, small parcels that are included.
Only one house up there.
Right.
They were a part of the Macaulay farm. They were subdivided, but he is still the owner.
Okay. So there's three different parcels we have outlined are going to be used for this service. Okay, because I see these are a bunch of vacant lots that were subdivided off.
They were subdivided, but not developed.
Not developed. Now, who owns those?
Mr. McCauley.
He still owns
them. To the best of my knowledge, he still does.
And would there be any limitation? I understand Townsend says they limit themselves as far as developing land that's had that biosolids on it, but are they subject to any such limitation?
No. The Townsend was referencing their
own
crop
policy.
Fields, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the last page of the attachment that's attached to the data I submitted to you this morning, there's a bold line that shows where they propose to put the berms that surround some of the properties adjacent and also separate them from the wetlands.
That is from the commission, you're saying now?
No, this is from the applicant.
From the applicant.
Mr. Cotton, the engineer, Mike Cotton,
mm-hmm.
from Cotton
In
Engineering.
In addition.
Drew that specifically for the creation of a berm
mm-hmm.
around the perimeters and along some of the adjacent properties to show separation so that there isn't runoff, per se, from the spraying of the
So that the is
materials.
Not part of the conditions now.
No, this is different. This is something
right.
new.
What is the meaning of that? What does that apply to? What is that's just a statement from the applicant?
No, this was provided by the applicant,
mm-hmm.
and when it was suggested that it be bermed.
Right.
The conditions of the commission. Okay, bear with me a second. This was a lengthy.
This is my district. I appreciate if I could hear what's going on. Thank you. Got some conversation.
The commission and their consideration of the public hearings reference, if you would see under F, it's on page 9, the vegetative buffer requirement referenced in A above or outlined by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission on the Dendritic buffer requirements. And A referenced different dimensional location where the buffers would be required. And it states that buffer areas for surface application shall include the following as required by Dendritic, and those buffer areas shall be shown on the final site plan and referenced 200 feet from occupied off-site dwellings, of which 50 feet will be vegetated, 100 feet from occupied on-site dwellings and potable wells, 25 feet from non-potable wells and public roads, 50 feet from bedrock outcrops, streams, tidal waters, and other water bodies, 25 feet from drainage ditches, and F, what I already read.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives specific locations.
Mm-hmm.
And it also makes reference in G to buffer areas for subsurface injection, and it's a similar list. But it's all on page 9 as part of the report. And then the applicant showing through Mr. Mike Cotton, Cotton Engineering, that they should be a 2-foot berm in certain areas that would help maintain those buffers and reduce the impact of runoff into adjoining properties.
Just 2 foot?
2 foot in height. Yep.
Should be, or?
What was suggested?
Just a suggestion.
Right.
So it really hasn't been made part of, if we were to approve the use.
Now, if you were to approve the recommendation of the commission and feel that it's appropriate to add what Mr. Cotton offered as a suggestion, it would become a part of the record and would be a part of the conditions. And then the commission, in review of the site plan, that berm would have to show up on the site plan.
Is that berm the only thing that is different?
No, the applicant supported and agreed to the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And Mr. Cotton is trying to show where the berm should be located
okay. In
his presentation on behalf of the applicant.
Anything in these documents we've received from the Department of Ag, from Delmarva Poultry, and from the other source that should be added to the conditions?
No, basically they were taking the position, the way I read, and I just summarized what their statements were, and
yes. They
were basically voicing no opposition in either case.
Correct.
And they didn't ask for anything specific other than the DENREC, it complies with the DENREC requirements, and that's got to be, they have to comply with DENREC requirements anyway, so we don't have that to worry about.
Right.
And they will test that regularly.
And it won't be scheduled, it'll be spot checked. They would just show up all of a sudden.
Is the berm located in a position to protect the dwelling of the lady that came in here and testified?
Mm-hmm.
I believe she was the very last person to testify.
The only thing that the letter says, as you have before you, is by placing a perimeter earthen berm on the downslope in the areas of the concentrated drainage flow patterns and having the rim elevation of that berm approximately 2 feet above existing grade, we can successfully contain the 10-year storm on site and prevent any surface stormwater runoff from the application areas.
Okay. So that's more about
It's about anybody, pretty
right.
much. And the berm is actually, if you look at the drawing, the last page of the report, it shows the berm along the driveways. It shows the berm around adjacent parcels.
That doesn't address the subsurface injection and her well.
No, it only addresses the stormwater runoff in case of a storm and runoff from the material on surface.
Mr. Lyon, and this is in response to Mr. Phillips' question, I think there was one other, it's a minor thing, I think, but in the Delmarva Poultry Industries letter, they talked about having Clean Delaware's trucks travel on a different roadway than the ones between the two chicken houses. I don't know that was addressed in the Planning and Zoning Commission's conditions, so that may be one that if you're going to act favorably on, you might think about adding as well.
I thought we had a letter saying we were going to do that.
Did their letter say that they were going to do that?
Well, who would be the loser on this case? If they came out with a chicken house.
Chicken industry.
That's absolutely right.
Bird flu.
Yeah. Their letter does state that, but I'd prefer to have that as a condition.
You would prefer.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
But I'm saying it was there.
Yeah, no, you're right. Right.
It is in there?
Yeah. It's in the Delmarva Poultry Industries letter and then Clean Delaware's response that they said they were going to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't have to do anything more with that to make sure that, you know, should that come back, that it isn't being done?
No, I think you should make it a condition if you're going to act.
It's going to have to be a condition, is what I'm saying.
It should be to protect council and
yes.
the commission in a review if it's not.
Yeah.
They're basically the applicant under Mr. Fuqua's letter, the letter from Jerry Desmond, general manager of Clean Delaware LLC, dated February 5th, 2013, confirming the conditions recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission are acceptable to the applicant, and that the access road will be relocated away from the existing chicken houses on the site.
Okay.
But then it would be subject to site plan as to where.
And
the whole intent was to get away from driving, as I stated, the poultry industry comment was between the chicken houses.
Okay.
And how far away?
Mr. President, are we in a position to make a motion to go ahead and correct that condition?
I would certainly think we could do, yeah.
All right.
Mr. Robertson, can we do that?
I think you can do that. You can add that as a condition.
Could you, Mr. Robertson, articulate that motion?
There were two, I believe. One was the, and I'm trying to find the document, it was the berm issue.
It's the last document with the map, right in front of the map.
Okay. Oh, Cotton Engineering, okay. Yeah. Well, the first one would be that the conditions would be amended to add an additional condition requiring the applicant to relocate the access roads away from the chicken houses to another location that is as far removed as possible on that site from the chicken houses, with that location to be shown on the final site plan. Did you get all that, Mr. Lang?
No.
And the second would be to comply with the requirement in the Cotton Engineering LLC letter dated February 6, 2013, I believe that's the one that says, just bear with me a second, to place a perimeter earthen berm on the downslope in the areas of the concentrated drainage flow patterns and having the rim elevation of that berm approximately 2 feet above the existing grade, and that the location of that berm be shown on the final site plan.
How much is that berm? 2 feet?
Okay, I'd like to make that motion if appropriate.
So we're modifying these conditions is all we're doing right now?
Adding
right.
To
right. Adding to them, okay.
We'll let Mr. Lang get caught up with the...
I have a question before you vote.
Let's get get this stuff down first.
Not the exact wording, but...
But you do have both things as far as...
The one was the relationship to amend and add the condition that the driveway be located away from the poultry houses and subject to site plan review. Mm-hmm. And the other was that the perimeter earthen berm, and that was straight out of the text of what was written by the applicant.
That was right out of the third paragraph of that February 6th letter.
Okay. I heard it was to be located as far as possible from the chicken houses. That's not part of it, is it? Or is it? Because that's hard to define as far as possible.
Well, that's all site plan, though. I mean, that would come
that's
back to...
That's a mighty planning and zoning.
The same man owns a chicken house.
Gives him the ability to cite it.
That's right.
It'd be in his interest.
Well, I'm just saying. I just want to make sure what's in there. That's all.
Okay.
Need is a that second. In there where it says it?
The way I read it?
Yeah.
The exact wording, but... add a condition that the driveway be located as far as possible away from chicken houses and shall be subject to site plan review.
That's the director's judgment.
Right.
And that's the way that I corrected it.
Exactly.
Right. And the second thing was to the buffer. You've addressed the buffer in there also, right?
I got as far as the perimeter earth and berm, and I'll go to the record.
Yeah, and I'll read it again because it comes right out of that letter. They will place a perimeter earth and berm on the downslope in the areas of the concentrated drainage flow patterns, having the rim elevation of that berm approximately 2 feet above the existing grade. And the location of that berm needs to be shown on the final site plan.
Okay. That's a motion, Mr. Phillips. Mm-hmm. Those two items. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on this motion? We'll take the vote to include these two items as part of the our final decision. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay.
Vote. Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I got a couple of issues I wouldn't mind bringing up.
Well, do we need to...
we've changed that one.
Yeah,
right, now we're going on to another. Okay, I just want to raise two other things. As I was reading through the planning and zoning's conditions for approval, they were something about referencing stockpiling, permitted up to 7 days of this material. Is there anything in the evidence that... stockpiling this product for 7 days is not going to cause an issue with odor and other things? I know when you stockpile just chicken manure for a few days, it can be a problem. Is there any? Did we hear any? Was there any testimony? Does anybody recall about stockpiling and why the Planning and Zoning Commission referenced 7 days? Because I'm concerned. I don't know if this stuff has a problem when it's stockpiled in the open air at certain times of the year.
My recollection,
7 days seems to be a long time.
From planning and zoning was not that it was an authorization to stockpile. It was more on an end date. You can't stockpile past this time.
Couldn't be more than.
Is there any concern with the rest of the council that maybe 7 days would be for this type of material, that if they're going to coordinate, you know, getting the material on site, they ought to be able to do something with it? Is 7 days?
I thought they were spreading it when they delivered it. I didn't, you know, I didn't know they were stockpiling it.
Well, that's in the conditions at planning and zoning.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, is there anybody has any concerns of that we maybe shorten that to 5 days, or? I mean, a company ought to be able to plan better than 7 days, because that could be a problem.
Any more thoughts from council?
Or 4 days, 5 days, or something?
It doesn't appear to be a problem from DENREC perspective. Who would you presume it would be a problem for?
People living in the area. People have to live with it. The people who are, I mean, anyway, I'm not that familiar with this, with what they're putting there. I don't know if I've ever smelled or been close to a site like this. Does it smell? Does anybody know if there is an odor associated with this product? Does anybody know?
Well, I guess I can tell you.
Well, I'd wish you would.
For about at least years and years and years.
20 years.
20 years at least. This product was spread right across front of my house. It wasn't 50 feet away at the closest point, and then on across the fields. And I actually got more smell from my chicken manure than I did this product.
It does. Well, the question is, does the product smell?
You understand what I said?
I heard that, but does the product
smell?
Is there an odor?
In other words, if this product is a bad product, then here comes chicken manure next. It'll be a bad product. And then what are we going to do then?
I'm just saying, is 7 days too long? If there is an odor, I'm talking about stockpiling. Sam, wait a minute. I'm not talking about when they spread it. I'm talking about when it is stockpiled. Does it have an offensive odor?
I'll tell you the truth.
That's a yes or a no.
Well, if you'll shut up long enough, I'll give you that.
Now, that's all
right. I can handle it. That's all right. He's like family. I can take it.
I didn't know if it's George.
No, I don't care.
Okay. Go ahead, Sam.
But would you answer the question?
As a rule of thumb, it's water, and they don't ordinarily stockpile it. It's probably 80% water.
Does it smell?
It's not a solid. Well, let me tell you this, George. If you asked me a question about who's spraying it, I'm going to answer your question.
No, I asked, does it smell?
Now, let's keep in mind, some of this is dry material.
I had a wife, also two other families lived down the road from me. Now, you think I would have lived in that place if it had been out of line?
I've been to your place, yes.
Okay, thank you.
A quick reminder for the members of the council, you know, what you all are obligated to act on is the record that's before you from
right.
The public hearing.
My question was, is there anything in the record that establishes a 7-day threshold for stockpiling? I don't recall anybody making any comments why 7 days, or is it a magic number, or should it be shortened because it could have odors? Or, you know, my thoughts are, if you're going to support this, that when it comes in, it ought to be spread and get into the ground as fast as possible.
I would think
at
so.
Planning and zoning, there was the proposed conditions were 7 days, and so that's where that came from.
Right.
And I think that the basis for it was so that Lawrence, correct me if I'm wrong, though, that way there would be it'd be there until they're ready to spread, whether they had to get more trucks bringing it so that they could have the volume that they could spread with.
It was offered by the applicant too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there was.
It was offered by the applicant.
Would it satisfy your concern if we ask that the stockpiling occur in the rear of the property and allow planning and zoning during the site plan process to place it at the rear of the property? So
I don't know. I don't know if it smells, number one. I don't know if there's a health risk if it's exposed for 7 days. And if it's 90 degrees, you know, out there in 7 days, and it's in a hot summertime, would that do something to it? So my only thoughts are, this type of material, 7 days seems like a long time.
The Department of Natural Resources doesn't seem to feel that it's a problem.
I don't know if they ever were asked that. I don't know.
And we did at the Planning and Zoning Commission level deal with that, because there was another condition that was imposed beyond what the applicant had stated, and it's condition L. The location for the temporary stockpile of materials shall be shown on the site plan It shall be located on the site to minimize any impacts on residences, neighboring properties, or the Mississippian River.
So the location supposedly protects the residents and the river.
So the commission would get a look at that to see where they...
I'll make a suggestion. I'll put this in. I'll make a suggestion. I recommend or we amend it to 5 days.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Have a motion and a second. Any questions on the motion? Mr. Lang, you can get that.
That would be item D.
Yep.
States no land application materials shall be stockpiled longer than 5 days on site.
That's fine. Okay. And then I got one other thing.
Well, let's vote on this.
We're going to vote on that next.
We'll take a vote on this now. We have a motion and a second. We'll take a vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Cole.
I got one other issue. I know when we do landfills and things, we had a review every 5 years of the permit, because I know that when permits are issued by Department of Natural Resources and other state agencies, sometimes you can't, once they're issued and regulations change, we've learned something, because they've got this permit, we can't go back and make them change anything. So I would say we do like we do with the landfills, that every 5 years there's a review. And an inspection and review, and that if there's any new regulations that have been developed, you know, in that during that period, so at the time of this review, they would have to comply with all existing regulations. So that as they move forward and we learn things, we tighten this, we keep this permit tight.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips.
To be reviewed
every 5 years, a review.
County Council?
No, DNRC.
Or the state.
Denrec.
Denrec. All through net.
But my more concern is if regulations change, that they would have to comply with any new existing regulations as we go into the future.
So any questions on this motion?
Yeah, so we're saying it would be brought up to current regs, not grandfathered in under the old ones.
Well, that's what I'm trying to avoid.
Are we talking about that?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to avoid being grandfathered in.
It would be subject to their permit with DENREC.
It's good,
their permit with DENREC.
To their permit. Can I just try to put that into a form?
Okay.
The use to be reviewed by DENREC every 5 years to confirm compliance.
There you go.
Very good. And to...
With their permit. I'll put it that way.
Well, I know, but with their permit, but I'm concerned about it if new regulations have been developed.
So do you think us passing the motion is going to make DENREC do something different they're going to do?
Well, if there's new regulations and the condition, we could enforce it.
This is a reason to write a letter.
If they say that they couldn't stockpile for a day or something, maybe that, I'm just using it as an example, because stockpiling it was hazardous to poultry or something. We find something out. We want to make sure that every 5 years, if there's new regulations, they must come into compliance with all current existing regulations at the time of review.
Yep. Can I try this one?
Sure.
They used to be reviewed by DENREC, Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, every 5 years to confirm compliance with their permit and any new regulations.
That'd be perfect.
Can I add one thing? That would be, and they notify Sussex County of their findings.
Sorry. Okay, thank you. That'd be perfect. Good.
And then DENREC notify the county of their findings.
That'd be fine.
Now, do we have a tickler that every 5 years that we would know whether that's done or not? I mean, is this...
He just said that.
All right. So we're saying that...
We'll be notified of the report.
We will.
I want to read it again?
No, I'm okay with it.
We're okay.
We're good.
We'll call for the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
On the...
On this change.
On the change, yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Anything else, Mr. Cole?
No, I'm done.
Any else from council?
Yeah, I'd like to see if we could put an 8-foot berm behind the home on that'd be the northern end of the parcel. A young lady that spoke.
Yes.
So emotionally concerned about her children playing in the backyard. An 8-foot berm along the back of the property located at the northern end of the applicant's parcel. Mr. Lank, you're going to have to help me with that language.
I want to just comment on Vance's conversation, but like an 8-foot berm, if you lived in the house and you liked looking out your back door and looking across fields and stuff, you're going to feel like you're in some enclosure. And I know people that have in these communities with big berms behind their backyard don't like them. I don't know if the big berm, if we're trying to restrict the the water or whatever, you know, the impact of that. I mean, a kid can still walk over a berm. So it's not keeping the children out or anything like that. I would just say 8 feet would be too high. I don't think that would be aesthetically pleasing to my property, and it might affect her property values to have that mountain, because nothing will grow on it.
Now, there is a forested buffer along there.
I don't know, but I just think, I'm just saying, 8 feet, maybe 2 feet's too low, but 8 feet's too high.
We might be better off to say it should be at least 150 feet from the home, 100 feet or whatever.
I think yeah, more distance is probably better than other things. Yeah. I just caution you on that. She may come back and say, I don't want that mountain behind my back, out my back.
Planning and zoning calls for
2 foot.
No, it's a 200 foot from occupied and offsite dwellings for surface application, and 100 feet for subsurface. Off-site.
Somebody just tell me what it is behind her back door. What is her back? How many feet are we talking in her particular?
It would be
property line, right?
For the surface application, 200 feet from occupied off-site dwelling, which would be her dwelling, and which 50 feet will be vegetated. And then on the subsurface injection, it would be 100 feet from occupied off-site dwellings, of which 50 feet will be vegetated. So
I'm just concerned.
I'll withdraw my suggestion.
I would say 200 feet.
And there's trees, and there's a 2 foot buffer or berm and stuff. I think I would probably.
Any more comments from council?
Okay. We might hurt her.
Okay. Mr. Robertson, would you read the short title, please?
We'll do that. It is. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for land application of Class B sanitary waste, non-sanitary food processing residuals, and potable water iron residuals to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 259.08 acres, more or less.
With pleasure, Council.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson, to approve conditional use 1946 with the conditions as read into the record. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Okay. This is this is in the Milford area. It is sludge. And it's sludge being transferred. This is what I learned at the hearing. The sludge being transferred from the southern part of the county to this part of the county, Milford. And that it's not Class A, which is more refined than Class B. That's one of the issues. And I learned at the hearing also that the facility in Milton, which is in the 3rd District, accepts sludge as well. However, it's not at the state-of-the-art condition at this time. And I've already accepted a lot of sludge in our district in Milford, I can't vote for this, and here are the reasons why. To me, it's evident that the applicant chose that site because it was available, not because it's the most suitable for that type of operation. And the many concerns that were raised during the public hearing and the impact of this on the Mispillion River are a grave concern. And this is an important environmental ecological resource for Kent and Sussex County. And I'm not satisfied that the applicant has adequately addressed these concerns. I do not know. I am not in a position to judge if the applicant has adequately addressed these concerns. I do know that we had a lot of objections at the hearing from people, from neighbors, and farmers as well, local farmers, about this. And so that's a concern for me. The topography of the site, of course, lends itself to the application of sludge because, as I understand, it's a higher level than, say, for instance, Selbyville or Ocean View or Bethany. And so that's why the idea is to bring it to Milford. I'm concerned about the groundwater and the subsurface injections. I'm concerned about any kind of stockpiling because, as Mr. Wilson says, it's highly it's water. There's a lot of liquid there, and I can just picture, you know, how the drainage from the piles, it's not really included in the conditions. And the, of course, again, we have the DENREC regulates the site, and I'm not opposed to the use of sludge to spread on fields. But I am opposed to the fact that it is being heavily spread in this area, Milton and Milford, and I think my district is more than doing its job. And so, again, I would also appreciate in the future, if you're going to do this, that around anybody's homes, we talk about Class A instead of Class B. So, no, I would vote against it.
Thank you, Mr. Deaver. Mr. Cole.
This is a tough one. I'm not an expert, obviously, in any of this stuff. But I basically got down to the point where we had farmers for it and farmers against it. And the farmers that were for it seemed to be the farmer that, basically the farmer who's wanting to do this activity, and the farmers, the neighboring farmers, were in opposition. And so for that reason, I think I will support the positions that the two P&Z commissioners had proposed for their reasons for denial. And my other fear is because there's additional land in that area, once this gets approved, it may set a precedent for additional acres to be used as the county grows. So I know I heard all the documentation from the Department of Agriculture and everything else, and I think that the conditions are tight, have been tightened up and things like that, but I still will vote no for those reasons.
Thank you, sir. Phillips.
This is a very difficult application, one that has caused a lot of concern in the community, one that I think was appropriately considered by both planning and zoning and this council when it came to creating the conditions imposed upon this application. I think it was good due diligence on our part to seek the opinion of the Department of Agriculture, certainly Delmarva poultry industry, and of course, looking at the comments from the Department of Natural Resources. A very highly regulated product, one that has been used on farms for many, many years in this county, and one that probably isn't going to be welcomed anywhere by neighbors, but one that I think once applications begin, the fears are allied, and as Mr. Wilson alluded, for many, many years, it was spread in front of his home, and it didn't create an offense to him or his family. I'm going to vote yes, joining the Planning and Zoning Commissioners who recommended its approval.
Wilson.
Well, I was thinking about one thing that George did say, that if it starts there, that the rest of the farmers might find a good product, and they may want it. And usually, if something like that starts and it's not a good product, they'll not want it. But the thing that I found about this product is it's a good organic material. Those that farm finds it's a good product. What frightens me is, and we might set a precedent here today, knowing this product does not have the odor as chicken manure has. And since poultry is the largest income this state has, the biggest basic business there is, and if we say, well, we can't stand this smell, it's chicken manure the next one on the list that we're going to take away. We cannot allow it to be spread. And if every neighbor in the country says, well, I don't want it near me, so we'll send it out to the Middle West somewhere. And the first thing you know, say, we're going to ship all of this product out of here. Why do we need the poultry products? Why do we need the poultry business here? I think it's, the reason my colleagues voted against it, they're unknowledgeable. They don't know the product as well as I do. And I have, and I'm sort of like Mr. Phillips here, I've had a hard time with this thing. I've had calls from both sides. I'm a property rights person. I believe what is right. I believe what is fair. And I believe that this product, if I thought in my mind at all that this would be a harmful product, a waste to the neighbors, there's no way under the sun I would vote for this. But I honestly believe it's a useful product. It can be used to help fertilize the ground. It's a product that this poultry companies have got to get rid of. And our poultry companies, by the way, Joan, are not all in Kent County. We got one in Milford. We have a poultry plant there in Milford that needs to get rid of this product. And that's nearby, and that's probably one of the main reasons it's chosen to be in that area. And we cut down the road traffic and all those things and the cost. So I agree with planning and zoning. I know this place, I know from past experience that this, that they will have an eye on them. I'll guarantee you, natural resources will watch them. They'll know what's going on. And it won't be every 5 years. More like every 5 days till this thing is set up and know what's going on. They'll answer every complaint the neighbor will have. They'll be there. It'd be like ugly on whatever you want to call it. But anyway, I think we've got to get rid of this product, and it's not going to be harmful to the neighbors. So I'm going to vote with the planning and zoning. I say yes.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. I agree with everybody up here. It's been a very tough issue to deal with. I do think that it certainly had two good hearings before planning and zoning, before this council. I think the recommendations from planning and zoning put a lot of restrictions on what they can and can't do as far as how many feet from property lines, how many, what kind of buffer you got to use, all those things. I do think that hearing some of these letters, and I took the opportunity to read these yesterday. I came over here to read these letters, so I went through them pretty good. And, you know, a couple of things. There's a letter we got in part of the record from Coastal Compliance. It says that sandy loam soil is effective for removing the absorbing what's going to be spread out there. Letter from the federal EPA stating that the, in their opinion, the Delaware Clean Delaware has taken the steps to ensure the concerns of local residents have been addressed. I think the buffers are a great thing around the area that they're going to comply with. The berms, letter from Townsend that says that although they would not take crops grown on the property, they certainly would take vegetables grown right next to it. And that they thought the buffers were sufficient with what Denrick has in place. Secretary Ed Key says that the biosecurity for the chicken industry is no greater than feed trucks going through or propane trucks. There's more of them, but no greater than that. They're going to have to comply with Denrec. The DPI has no major concern with it. They've got three other sites in this county they've been using for 20 years that Denrec checks on. I can't imagine Denrec not enforcing anything they put out there. There has not been a shortage of Denrec regulation before. I can't imagine them anything less than that now. I think it'll end up being a good thing for the county. It's a good thing to get rid of this product. It's got to go somewhere, obviously. So in all those things being stated, I'm going to vote yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. Again, and you haven't been provided with a copy of the report of the commission and the record and the recommendation on this application. This is conditional use number 1950.